People have sat on the vehicles, challenged anyone to dare to challenge what he had just said, which, after all, is quite quite a statement when one considers it from the point of view of the modern science that we have all grown up with. Giant eagles who fly from planet to planet. But he was speaking on the authority of Shastra, of the Bhagavatam, and he was a hero, a powerful hero to defend the truths of the Vedas. Should I tell you what happened next? Would you like to hear?
Yes.
So, Prabhupada at the end, he said, "Are there any questions?" And we all, and one could say, fools walk in where wise men dare not tread. He raised his hand and he said, "You mentioned giant eagles that fly from planet to planet. Well, it is a little hard to believe." And Prabhupada said, "What do you know? You are still in the womb of your mother. What do we know when our consciousness is like a baby in the womb of the mother? What can we perceive of reality when we are in the womb of our mother? We perceive, practically speaking, nothing. And we judge, we tend to judge, all of us, all conditioned souls, tend to judge reality just by what we can see with our two eyes. And if we can't see it, we don't believe it's true. But so much exists outside of the reality that the child in the womb of the mother perceives. And so much exists beyond the reality that we, babies, perceive." So when Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana, the great hero, the great acharya, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, he criticized strongly. I've been listening to lectures that Prabhupada gave on the Bhagavad Gita, the 16th chapter. Does anyone know the title of that chapter of the Bhagavad Gita?
Divine and Demoniac Nature.
Yes, the Divine and Demoniac Nature. And Prabhupada, one class after the next that I would hear on this, he would speak especially about the divine, the demonic nature, and he would criticize it. He would speak these verses, "Dhammo dhappo vamanascha krodha paroshama eva cha agyanam cha avijatasya partha sampadam asvarim asura sampad." The qualities of the demonic nature, not of the soul, but of the demonic nature. He would quote this verse again and again. And another verse that I will read. "Pride, dhamma, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of the demoniac nature, O son of Prita, O Arjuna." And then, "Privatam cha, nivritam cha." That nasatyam teshu vidyate nasocham napi chacharo. There is no cleanliness. The demoniac don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Nasatyam, what does that mean?
The truth.
They cannot speak the truth. They do not know there is the truth. They do not know what is not to be done, what is to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. And that they say asatyam apratistam te. They say that this world is not real. It has no foundation. It rests upon nothing. This is true for the scientists, many of them, the small scientists, they'll make statements such as this. And for the Mayavadi impersonalists, there is no foundation. It is not true. Everything that you see before your eyes, it has no reality. It is not real. It is illusion. This is the demonic mentality speaking. And there is no God in control. They say that life is produced of sex desire only, and it has no cause other than lust, that life just comes from matter. And Prabhupada, in these lectures, would insist again and again that life comes from life. That chemicals, that matter, come from life. And he explained in a very critical way something that I had never heard before. That the reason why they say that matter is the source of everything, that life comes from matter, is because if they would say that matter comes from life, that matter comes from life, that the planets and the sky and the trees and the water and the chemicals all come from life, they would have to admit that there is a supreme source of everything, God. And where, he would say, have we ever seen anything being produced from matter? He gave the example in one of the lectures that we see that a tree that is alive, a lemon tree that is alive, it produces so much citric acid. But where do we see any example of something that it is dead producing life, chemicals or anything? So Prabhupada was so strong. He was so strong in cutting the demonic qualities. And he explained in these lectures that the reason we want to establish daivi sampath, the qualities of the devas, of godly qualities, and remove from our consciousness the asura qualities, the pride, the arrogance, the conceit, the anger, the harshness, the ignorance, which are born from which modes of material nature? I'll give you a hint. It is not goodness. Yes, thank you. That's one. And the second one?
Passion.
Yes. So the reason why we wish to be established in Daivi Sampat, not a Suruk Sampat. What does Daivi Sampat mean?
Divine
qualities. Is so that we can develop the mode of goodness. And the whole Krishna consciousness lifestyle is about the whole lifestyle that is being promoted in Krishna consciousness is about developing goodness in the heart. And then it is not the International Society for Goodness, but based on goodness, then the mind can become more peaceful. And then it is so much easier to take to Krishna consciousness and focus the mind upon Krishna. And it is focusing the mind on Krishna, in the service of Krishna, that is the goal. But not focusing the mind on Krishna like Kamsa's mind was focused on Krishna. When I read that in the Krishna book, and I read it last night too, And it was very, it was wonderful for me to read that the Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna out of fear. When will the death of my life come? When will he come and kill me? But there is no Guru Parampara from Kamsa. It is not the path that we are taught to follow, the path of fearing Krishna. But rather, it is the path that Prabhupada taught and Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati taught and Śrī Caitanya Mahaprabhu taught. It is the path of developing love for Krishna. And that type of absorption is what we want. But it takes absorption, as our Amarapapu said in his when he glorified Prabhupada, that we should organize our lives. We should organize our lives, and Prabhupada insisted on this in such a strong way. We should organize our lives around making use of our human life so that we cultivate goodness and Krishna consciousness. We cultivate some time that we can chant Krishna's name. We cultivate our lives in such a way that we have time to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, I promise you, if we just fit Krishna consciousness in here and there when we have a little bit of time, even if we have that fortune, which is wonderful, and we don't really criticize that, if we do that and just somehow or another fit a little bit of Krishna into our life when we have the time, when it's convenient for us, then one day, just as how do you pronounce your name?
Ash.
In Sanskrit, it would be A at the end, Asha. And then it becomes O. As he was thinking that I became first in contact with Krishna when I was young, and then now I'm 11. Well, one day, you're going to be 25. If you survive teenager years, which isn't always so easy. Please, we fall at your feet and beg you, please do not become a crazy teenager. Thank you. Yes, and yes, where is father and mother?
My mom is over there.
Yes, yes.
In India.
Okay. Yes. We've met before, yes, I remember that. Oh yeah, you remember to me.
I just noticed you have such a loud voice that you don't even need the microphone.
Oh, sorry. Sometimes I get excited, I can't control myself. But my voice, even though it's loud, it's also delicate in its way, and if I keep it up like this for a long time, I lose my voice, and then I can't find it again. It's very difficult. Because it has no GPS at that. So we should find time to read Prabhupada's books and associate with him in that way. Because this association with Prabhupada through his books is very powerful. It is what he said, I will never die, I will live forever in my books. So please keep Prabhupada's books in your house. If you don't already have many of Prabhupada's books in your house, Amarapapu is here to help you solve that problem. And please, once they are there, please open them up and hear. This is what we would want, this is what we long to do. If Prabhupada walks in here and sat on the Vyasasan, we'd all be so happy and we'd be amazed. And we would wait for him to
speak,
chant and speak. So this is Prabhupada speaking in the form of books. He spoke into the dictaphone, and now when he is physically not present, he is still present in his words. So associate with Prabhupada in this way. And it's very challenging to associate with Prabhupada because he challenges. I have noticed this myself. So he challenges the demonic part of me that is very much in control at times, and he wants me to develop the daily sometimes, the qualities, divine qualities, and then progress to becoming a true devotee, an actual devotee, in relationship always. Now we have the opportunity to offer Pushpanjali to Prabhupada. So what is the Pushpanjali? Pushpa means, and Anjali means what? Like this, with the hands like this. So we take the flowers, and what are the flowers that we're offering to Prabhupada? These are a gesture, an outside manifestation of what we wish to offer him from the heart. So we take those flowers with folded hands prayerfully, and we offer them to Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, please accept these prayerful desires that I have in my heart. Please accept the appreciation that I have in my heart. And please, by your mercy, please allow me to serve. Srila Prabhupada.
Everyone can stand now. We'll be having Pushpanjali.